This is Jason David Frank, and you're listening to the Geek Cast Radio Network.
You are now on the inside of what I like to call the Circle of Trust. We are all connected in the great circle of life.
You know something, Bert?
What?
I think you and I are going in circles.
It feels like we're going in circles.
The circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Because it's a circle.
Yeah, we heard about the circle.
Yes, we're familiar with shapes.
Welcome to episode 136. This is Greg.
And this is Dan, and we are Talking in Circles, brought to you by the Geek Cast Radio Network. The podcast that's about to get classic because inspired by the recent release of the Nintendo Switch, you know, as people who don't have it, we do have experience playing classic video games. So today we're actually going to spend some time and talk about our favorite classic NES video games from back in the day, our top five. We haven't done a top five in a while, but we're bringing it back. But before we get to that top five, how have things been going with you, Greg?
Pretty good. I just dropped a whole shit ton of money on a new computer. I'm actually updating it and getting it set up as we speak. If I got it done a little bit quicker or whatever, I would have been recording on it tonight. But you have that to look forward to. It's super nice. I got a Acer Predator 17. It's a gaming laptop. I chose that over a Mac because I figured PC is kind of caught up to Mac when it comes to graphics and everything like that, and maybe even surpassed it at this point. And PCs are just cheaper to begin with, and I figured I'd get a gaming laptop because the graphics would be even better, and I could also play more stuff on a PC than I can on a Mac.
Do you have any video games you're gonna try to splurge into in the world of PC gaming?
Yeah, there's this game that I've seen a couple YouTubers play called Rust.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of in my purview of what I like in video games. It kind of falls into that Fallout kind of Skyrim, huge open worlds kind of situation and survive. So yeah, I'm looking into that and. Yeah, I also got a gaming mouse because I figure that's kind of important. You can't really play video games with a trackpad.
You're getting like the utility belt of PC gaming. You're going to be all set.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do, and then eventually maybe get a Wacom tablet and
What's a Wacom? Is that like a Whack-a-Mole? Is that
no. Wacom tablet is like this little pad, and it comes with a stylus, and you could draw and do stuff on that instead of like using a mouse. It's just like a pen that you could go around with. I use one for work for retouching photos and stuff, and then it's also good for design work and stuff, so I want to get one of those and also download and buy the software for Photoshop and other Adobe programs as well. So I'm hopefully gonna get really set up and everything. Yeah. But how's your week been going, Dan?
Going good. I do have kind of a random interesting story. So had that recent horrific event happen when you lose your wallet. You know, it wasn't actually me in this case, but one morning my wife was getting ready to leave. She was going to go visit with a friend in Philly, and she was packing up, getting her stuff ready. She couldn't find her wallet. She's like, "Where is it?" I'm like, "Well, I'm not sure." So we're looking all over for it, thinking maybe, you know, our son's in the age of where he likes to take things and put things places just because it's fun. It's often the garbage can and his diaper pail are his favorite two hiding spots. So that we've found many things in his diaper pail that I'm like, "Oh, that's where that shirt went to." So we're looking all over for it. We're having no luck, you know. You start to get worried because you're thinking, you know, we're checking the bank accounts. None of the cards are being used. So I'm like, well, that's good at least. So think back of where she was at and checking the car, going through all that. It's just, and then you're doing that math in your head of losing wallet math of like, okay, I need to get new cards. You're going to need to change everything online. You need to change like all, you know, are your preferences for bills and things like that. She'll need to go to the DMV and get a get a new license, and it's just like this endless amount of things if we can't find it. But she's like, well, the last place she used it was at the grocery store the night before, so we're like, well, you know, we'll try to call and see if it's there, if anyone dropped it off. And we're calling and calling and calling, and like something was going wrong with their phones, and like they weren't picking up. It would say like, oh, sorry, we're not here, we're gonna put you on hold and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. But once they did that, it hung up. And it, so it was like, well, all right, well, that's weird. So she had to drive to find it. So she's looking in, you know, it's like, how's it going to be here? You're just hoping someone was nice enough to do it. And luckily enough, you know, she gets to the customer service and she asks for the wallet. And they're like, wow, we thought you'd be here yesterday. Apparently, when she was putting her groceries into the car, she must have left it on the actual cart and put the cart back, but never actually grabbed her wallet. And luckily, someone with some very kind person turned it in, and she was able to grab it. She had some money in it, and that was everything was left untouched. I only feel bad because we can't thank that person because we don't know who did it.
Yeah,
but it was, you know, it was very amazing, nice thing for someone to do because they could.
Yeah,
easily...
it's a good thing to see nowadays with all the shit that's going on. It's still good to see a good deed done.
Yeah, and it's kind of why I wanted to share it. Like, there's some nice people out there, you know. Someone could have easily taken the cash and used that. There was a decent hunk of cash in there, but everything was returned, and so that was a huge sigh of relief because it's like, oh, thank God. It's like that you know, that would not be fun. So, but besides that, one thing I did do was check out Dave Chappelle's most recent comedy special. I don't even know the last time he did a comedy special. But
is that the one on Netflix?
Yes, it's actually two.
Okay, well. I want to see that.
So there's
two of them?
There's 2 one-hour specials, yeah.
Oh,
and
catch that.
I honestly, like, I realize I haven't watched a lot of Chappelle's stand-up. I watched a lot of Chappelle's show. I watched some of his movies, but never watched a lot of his stand-up. And I'm not going to go in great detail because I don't want to spoil any of the jokes or any of the concepts or anything like that. But, you know, it's hilarious. I love – Chappelle is a very unique style as a – comedian. Like, he's just a really good storyteller. Like, it's not necessarily that he's telling, it doesn't even sound like he's telling jokes. It's just like he's just kind of talking about things, or he's just describing things, and it's just, he's a really good matter-of-fact way about things. Some, like, the premises that he talks about, like, there's this running joke throughout the show where he talks about him running into an infamous celebrity multiple times, and it goes throughout the entire first special. I haven't watched much of the second special yet, but the first one was great. I think it was recorded like last year around this time. It was like around the time that Gering Sherdling passed away, because that comes up in the special. But it's funny. It's, I mean, especially being on Netflix, I had it in the background when I was working on stuff, and it was just a great, like, man, it makes you feel good. He's a funny dude. Like, one of the, probably easily one of the best comedians up there, and this is certainly that. Much, much better than the Amy Schumer special, which I watched like 5 minutes of. I'm like, I'm done. This is not very good. This is awful. And I like Amy Schumer, but that special was just bonkers and ridiculous and just like so... it was just lazy. So don't watch that, but do watch Dave Chappelle's special. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Amy Schumer, but I like Dave Chappelle. And I heard on the radio that his special was coming out on Netflix, and apparently it's out already. So I as soon as they said that on the radio, I'm like, I definitely have to check that out. I love loved Chappelle's show when it was on. Still, I'll go online and watch some of those skits, and I'll still laugh at them and everything. And the little bit that they had on the radio that they played was really funny. So I'll definitely have to check that out.
Nice. And I know that, oddly enough, you accidentally ended up watching something. So I'm very curious about what you watched and how exactly it happened.
Yeah, I accidentally watched an anime.
Are you okay? Do we need to have like an intervention to kind of just getting over that? I know.
No. It was just weird because it was a 3D CGI anime, and I found it on Netflix, and I found it in the horror section, and the cover artwork, it looked like actual people, and the thumbnail for it isn't like huge, so it was kind of like, oh, okay, this sounds interesting. It's about people being brought back from the dead to fight these monsters that are landing in Japan and everything, and I'm like, oh, that sounds kind of cool, that sounds like something up my alley. So I clicked on it, and little did I know, it's actually an anime with really, really good graphics. And it was 3D CGI, like I said, and it looked stunning. It was like kind of like back in the day when you and Chuck and I were saying that when like the Marvel Ultimate Alliance, that kind of stuff came out, and the cutscenes and that, we were like, we wish they would do like an animated movie like this. Yeah. It was like that, but way better. Like there were some parts where things looked like real, like perfectly real. The only thing that made it not look real were the faces of people and everything. But like, there were water effects and fire effects, and they looked great. And there was like scenes where, like, mundane scenes where they're like just showing kind of like objects, and those objects looked so perfect. Like, he was looking at, he had a little like gift bag, though, the main character, and that looked real. It looked like a photo or a video of an actual thing. So that was really good. The characters were cool. The concept was interesting. But the story itself, I felt like it was just repetitive and not fully formed and a little bit confusing. Japanese was subtitled down the bottom. The English was down the bottom. So I had to read that and kind of keep up with what the picture's going on. So that might have been one of the issues for me being a little bit confused. But it was mostly just fighting really weird creatures.
What's it called?
It's, oh, sorry. Yeah, it's called Gantz Zero. GANTZ:0 or
I was gonna ask, is it like a forever long title? Because I feel like every anime, like, it has to have at least 5 words in the title.
No, that's it. GANTZ:0.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Yeah, okay. Sorry.
And it is on Netflix. I highly recommend people watch it. Even though the story wasn't good, the characters were interesting, the fight scenes were interesting, the creatures were bizarre, so that definitely made it interesting. Like, it kept my attention, but the story wasn't great, and it was a little difficult to keep up with. Especially the last scenes were confusing because there were like flashbacks or flash forwards or something. I wasn't really sure what was going on there, but it's definitely a cool concept. And plus, if you like really well animated boob jiggle, that definitely had that going on in full effect there. There was this one character, who was very voluptuous, and every time she moved her boobs, it was like all over the place. It was crazy. And then there was also a creature made of women, like naked body, just kind of like their boobs and their butt, especially just composed, like whole bunch of women's body made up this creature, and it was huge and everything. But the story overall was about these people that were kind of brought back from the dead to play in this game, essentially, quote unquote. And it was kind of like a video game where they kind of had to level up and everything to get different things. So they had to get points for different kills and everything so they could get different weapons, or they could leave the game itself, or they could bring back a dead teammate that died previously. So that was kind of an interesting choice that the character had to make at the end, because he grew attached to his teammates and everything. But then he has a little brother that he takes care of, and I don't even think an extra weapon achievement was really in the cards for him, but it was those last two choices that really made the story interesting. So I would definitely check it out. It was a good experience for somebody that's not really into anime. Mostly it's because of the animation style. So this one was a 3D CGI that was really well done, so I think that really helped me kind of approach this and swallow it easier than a regular anime that's animated.
And was it dubbed or was it subtitles?
No. It was subtitles. speaking Japanese, and then English came in down the bottom and everything.
Okay. Yeah. I know sometimes I can make or break anime with bad subtitles or with bad voiceover. Because I have watched a lot of Hayao Miyazaki recently. And, well, that's usually, they're usually done by Disney, so you're usually getting pretty good voice actors or legitimate, main actors. Sometimes wrongfully cast, like Billy Bob Thornton as a monk. Like, that wasn't a good idea. But, yeah, interesting. Very cool.
Yeah, I definitely check it out. It's like now one of my favorite animes, I guess. Not that I've watched that many, but
is there another one you would Attack on Titan? I've heard the good things about that. And
yeah, that one seems very bizarre to me too. I just haven't had any opportunity to see one like that. There's other ones that I've just kind of randomly clicked on in Netflix, but those are mostly like a TV series, so it like goes through a whole bunch of episodes, and usually they're not dubbed over. I haven't really found a good one other than this that was like an hour and a half movie, it was pretty easily digestible and everything.
Have you ever watched Akira or Ghost in the Shell? Now that's becoming a live action movie in a few weeks.
No, I haven't seen any of those. No.
Okay.
I like Ghost in the Shell because they're showing Scarlett Johansson in this weird thing that almost looks like she's naked, but she's not at all.
It's kind of like how it was very much in the actual movie itself. I don't know. I'm not anyway an anime aficionado by any means, but I've watched a few just because of preparing for different lists we've done for Geekcast Radio. If I'm just going off of TV show, the only anime TV show I've watched is Dragon Ball Z, and I was in it for a few while, a year or so, but maybe a little bit longer. But it gets so ridiculously repetitive, like you were saying.
Yeah.
It's like I'm gonna have 16 episodes regarding one fight between two people. It's just, all right, I get it.
Yeah,
they're powering up for 15 minutes. All right, and then we're gonna fight some more. And okay, then we're going to, it's just, I get
this. That's what this movie kind of was like, okay, defeat these people. Okay, we're going over here. Defeat these people. Okay, we're going over here. Defeat these people. And so it was like, okay, it's just fight after fight after fight. I thought there was going to be a break in there somewhere where we got through this first battle. Now we're got this little thing in the middle where we kind of relax, get a little bit more details into backstories and everything, and then move on to more battles. But no, there was nothing in between. It was just a battle throughout the movie with little things in between, but it really didn't have any kind of substance to add to the story.
Yeah. The anime movie I was trying to think of was Grave of the Fireflies, which is legitimately one of the saddest films I've ever watched, but it's...
Okay, I won't watch them.
It's a great movie, though. I would recommend watching it. It's definitely going to make you,
Yeah, see, I've been so depressed through periods of my life that I really don't like to watch sad or depressing things. I'd rather watch happy or at least bloody, violent kind of stuff.
I would recommend for you then was Princess Mononoke. That would be it's another Hayao Miyazaki. Disney has the partnership with Miyazaki, so they put out all of his movies. So the dub's pretty good, though. The actors they got for the most part. It's probably my favorite of his films. Overall, he has different ones. He has ones like My Neighbor Totoro, which is more kid friendly. That one's sad, but it's not nearly as sad as Grave of the Fireflies. It has kind of a bittersweetness to it. And then there's ones that are like Nausicaa, Valley of the Wind, that are these grand epic scale type of movies. And that's what Princess Mononoke is. But it's great. It's the first time I ever watched an anime was watching that on Starz one afternoon, and I'm like, what the hell am I watching? And it was quite good.
But like a lot of animes, is what the hell am I watching? I think the other thing that kind of bothers me about animes is the dub or voiceover, because it seems like they're either shouting mad at something and where they don't really need to be, or like the girls are like sobbing in the corner for like no explained for dumb reasons. Like it's just this weird extreme, like they can't hit like this middle emotion sometimes. Yeah. And it's just bizarre. It's like comparing like something on the stage where they have to emote more to kind of like a movie where they could get close-ups and everything so they don't have to emote that much. So it's like 10 steps above a theater even.
I don't wonder if things get lost in translation where they're like, I know what, we don't really have a word for this, so we're just going to have them laughing. So it looks okay. So I don't know. It's interesting. So, but anything else before we take a quick break?
No. I think there's actually more of these Gantz, which I'm going to look out for, but I didn't find any on Netflix, and they're actually live action, and they actually come from a manga, which is, if any of you don't know, it's the comic book version kind of Japanese stories, kind of like a American version is like superhero comics, Marvel and DC.
Yeah.
So.
Very cool. Alrighty, well, what we're going to do is take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking about our favorite classic NES games, our top five, right after this.
Hey guys, this is JD from the In Session Film Podcast. Every week on our show, you can join my co-host Brendan and I as we review the latest films that's out in theaters. It also inspires us to discuss a top three list of some sort, and we have a lot of other fun movie discussions as well. It's always a blast. And we also have a show on Fridays called our Extra Film Podcast. This is a show that gives us the space to talk about the latest indies and art films and other classics that we normally just don't get to talk about on our main show. You can find our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and more. In fact, you can just see everything about us, including our social medias, at InSessionFilm.com. So join us every week. We'd absolutely love to have you.
All right, and welcome back. Yes, today we are talking about our top five favorite NES video games. But before we get to the actual top five, when we were old enough, I think, to start playing the NES, I think it was already out for a little bit.
Yeah.
So I know I still played it a great deal. It was the first like video game console I think my family ever owned. I don't know about you, like how it was a big thing for you guys.
We actually had an Atari first.
Really? Nice.
Yeah. So my brother and I would play like Tanks, which is like a super simple tank game that I'm pretty sure you could find online even. But I used to play that all the time. We had Tanks. We had that terrible E.T. game that was like dumped in the desert somewhere or something like that.
Yeah.
That legend.
We really had that terrible game.
Yeah, I watched that. And I played Atari beforehand, but NES was definitely my go-to system. I don't really remember playing Atari that much other than like finding it again when you're a little bit older and you're like, oh, let's play this little bit and hook this back up again. But mostly I played a lot of NES, and my mom used to tell me I'd come home from like school and everything, and I would just go directly to the NES, sit cross-legged, and I like wouldn't move for hours, and like I would like wiggle my foot back up and down as I'm sitting there cross-legged the entire time. And like apparently it wasn't like a normal cross-legged kind of thing. It was this weird way that I would sit, and they didn't know how like I was sitting like that the entire time.
You didn't know how to
time.
Sit as a kid. You had some trouble sitting. It's a skill. Yeah,
It was a weird, I don't even know how to describe it because I don't actually remember doing it myself, but all I remember is just being sucked into the games and everything, and I played a lot.
Yeah, I'm the youngest of five kids, and I shared a room with my brother growing up, and we had an NES, and it was our first game system, and I played it, but it was more so theirs than mine. So I watched a lot of playing games. You know, I did occasionally play here and there. I had neighbors as well, and they had Nintendo, and we would play a lot of games together. Some of them we'll talk about, but they had the really cool version of it that had the NES, the light gun, along with like the trackpad. And
I had the light gun. I never had a trackpad.
Oh, the trackpad, that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun, especially we would cheat because like you're supposed to use your legs, but we would like at times use our hands instead. I don't know.
My favorite with the light gun is like putting it right up to the screen.
Yeah. So do you have a lot of great memories playing that? And I remember like going to different, that was back when video game stores were not video game stores, but like movie stores went, and there was this was before Blockbuster was even in our area. It was a McDonald's Video. It's like a family-run video store, and you would be able to like rent something free on your birthday. And I remember one of my birthdays, I got like a Sesame Street game or something like that. And I just remember like NES games, there being so many of them about on so many different things. I felt it was,
And
like even looking at some of the games as we're putting this list together, I'm like, there are so many NES games about, it's just like they were just making them on a day-to-day basis. They just put two words together. It's like, Bad Dudes, that sounds like a video game. All right, here it is. Did you continue with Nintendo after that, or were you just NES? Did you do 64 or Super NES or GameCube or anything?
No, I really didn't do many video games after that. Like really? I had the NES. I remember my cousin getting Sega Genesis somewhere in there. My next door neighbor got the N64, which I loved to play that Bond game that everybody loves.
GoldenEye.
GoldenEye. Yeah, I remember playing that with him. And then he also had, I never watched Pokemon, but they had the Pokemon Snap game, I think it was called, where you go around and take pictures of the Pokemon. I really liked that one. But I didn't get into a new system until the first PlayStation, I think. Yeah, it was a while. Or no, wait, I had a GameCube before that, and that's a piece of shit. I wish I never got that. I don't even remember what games I played for that, but that was a piece of shit system. The most significant after was definitely the first PlayStation, and then I got PlayStation 2, and now I'm up to, what are we up to, 4, and I got PlayStation 3. So I got every PlayStation system after. So, yeah. How about you?
Video games were a huge part of growing up for me. So we did have the Nintendo, but I didn't go back to Nintendo until the 64. We went Sega Genesis. That was our system of choice. And but I did have a 64, and the 64 was the first system that was mine. Like, that was my system that I had, and I loved that a lot. I played a lot of, like, which I didn't include on this, like the Mario 64, Zelda Ocarina of Time, which was probably my all-time favorite video game, like the one I probably spent my most time playing.
You'd probably be shocked to hear that I've never played a Zelda game.
Oh, wow. No, I've heard yeah, that. I mean, never. Especially if you stopped after NES. Then after that, I did get, I actually had a Dreamcast. I was one of those guys. I loved my Dreamcast. After my 64 broke, I went to Dreamcast, and then I think I'm having this order right. I did have a PlayStation 2, but I got PlayStation 2 pretty late because I had the Dreamcast for a good bit of time, and then I had an Xbox, and so I went more so Xbox after that, Xbox and Xbox 360. I just got the whatever Xbox One now just recently, but because I have a huge period of time where I didn't play, but yeah, so like I've gone on and off. Like, I haven't owned a Nintendo system since the 64. Like, I didn't own the GameCube, I didn't own a Wii.
GameCube's piece shit. Wii, my parents got a Wii, and my brother had a Wii while he was still in the house, so I played that a little bit. My parents still have a Wii downstairs. They just use it to watch Netflix, really. And I think my dad recently might have done the Wii Sports game, because he likes the one where at the resort or whatever, where you're on the island, and he likes this one where you could essentially fly a a plane using the Wii remote. He likes planes. He likes he likes the drone stuff going on. He doesn't have an expensive one or anything, but he has a bunch of tiny ones that he likes to harass us with in the house. So so I haven't played the Wii in like forever.
Yeah. I do plan on getting like a classic NES once they actually sell them more than like two at a time in the entire world. And I did have a Game Boy for
yeah, had a Game Boy as well.
Yeah, and I didn't
was yours color or was it
black and white? I had black and white, and then I did eventually get for a short period of time I had a Nintendo DS that we played, and then my relative broke it, and so it no longer works, but. I actually had a PSP and I traded it in for a DS because like the PSP started like stopped making games, but I did love the PSP.
Yeah,
they
fell out really quick, the PSP.
I loved that. Like my now wife got that for me for a birthday present way back when, which was insane because we're still in college. So I think she stole it. I don't know how she afforded it, but
did you ever have somebody steal a gift for you?
Not that I know of. Not that I know of.
Had a girlfriend that stole a gift for me.
Really? What did
she
steal? She
got it out of it was something really dumb. It was out of Spencer's gift. She got me like this voodoo doll type of thing. Weird. It was very bizarre and I was like, "What the hell is wrong with you?" You actually know her, by the way, Dan.
Okay. I can put two and two together. So.
Okay, cool. Cuz I don't want to say her name.
Nice. No, I've never had anyone steal anything from me. To my knowledge, but I forgot I did have a PSP, and that was fun. I did like that. I remember playing X-Men Legends 2 on that, and it was cool because there was a specific version just for PlayStation. So I played that a lot. That was back when I was in college,
I loved
and I would
X-Men
like
Legends. That was a good game.
Yeah, I would have time in between classes and stuff, so I would go in my car or like you know go into like the student lounge area and play. But anyways. Besides all that, I guess we can get right into our top five. And I don't know about you, but I just kind of ranked them based upon memory and the ones I played the most, enjoyed the most. But you, what's five on your list?
Five is actually I'm not sure. I think there was two of this game, but it's DuckTales. I think it was the second one where you're going across different continents and everything. That one I loved because it was DuckTales, and I loved DuckTales back in the day. And it had a different kind of control system with like how you would had the pogo on the cane and everything, which was really cool and fun. But the thing that really killed it for me was the one where you kind of did the golf shot to hit something. I always had trouble hitting the controls to get that to do it, so that was kind of bizarre. The music in that one is really stunning, like the space scene where it kind of starts off like ethereal and kind of slow, and then it just like kicks into the music. I just love the soundtrack to that one. But I just remember playing that one a lot. I wasn't very good at that game, like I said, because the controls and everything I had issues with. I don't know why. And I think that one's a very popular one among a lot of people as well, yeah. Especially for the music.
Yeah, and I think they did a remaster a couple years ago of that game.
Yeah.
And I played that a lot, too. I played that and the Rescue Rangers game because... You know, that was a time when anything Disney afternoon related, I was yep. Eating up. So, I don't know if they ever made a Tailspin game, but they should. They should. Speaking of,
they did make a Tailspin game.
They did.
They did. I had it. It wasn't nice. Very good.
Ah, darn.
It was basically a side scroller where you were blue in the plane, with his head sticking out of it, and just kind of like side scroll, and you just kind of shoot.
You know what? I do kind of remember that. Maybe I did play that, but. Did you see the stuff for the new DuckTales cartoon coming out?
I just saw maybe like a couple screenshots. It's a very different animation style to it. Yeah. It looks nothing like the old version of it.
It's like a cross between like classic and new. I'm interested. I don't know. It's got a pretty like star-studded voice cast, which I was surprised to see. But we'll see how it is. Yeah. I mean, star-studded is a strong word, but there's... I couldn't name one person on the voice cast, and this has like Danny Pudi and a few other people that are at least recognizable names, which I'm like, why do you need that for DuckTales? But who I don't know. Anyways, for my number five, I actually cheated because that's the way I roll. And I kind of combined a bunch of them into three into my number five. They all kind of have a theme that runs through them out, and they're all vehicle related games, like where you're, you know, driving some sort of vehicle or flying a vehicle.
Okay.
And the three are Captain Skyhawk, Jackal, and Cobra Triangle. So growing up as a kid, you know, my dad was in the Air Force, so I loved planes. I went to a lot of air shows, had a lot of toy planes, and Captain Skyhawk was like this video game that obviously a video game, but it was this game where you flew, like, was basically like an F-14, but it was in space and you would fight aliens. It was similar to probably what the Blue game was like. And I was actually watching screen, like, video game playing of it. I'm like, wow, that looks nothing like I remember it. In my head, it was so much more elaborate and things like that. But it's like, wow, that's so basic. But I had a lot of fun with it because it was a tough game. The controllers were difficult. And the worst part was, like, at the end of each level, there would be the space station that you would have to try to get in. And it was spinning in circles, and you would have to try to, like, align it perfectly. And it was so difficult to do. It was so hard. It was just as hard as with Top Gun and landing on the aircraft carrier. That was really, really tough. The other one is Jackal, which is a Jeep-based game where you would be a bunch of little Jeeps going through different areas, blowing things up, fighting things. Again, it was like a button masher. That was a lot of fun. I remember playing – that was tough, too. I remember playing that with my brother and trying to get through all these different things. And I love that a lot too, because I was a huge G.I. Joe fan. It was like almost like playing G.I. Joe in a video game. And lastly is Cobra Triangle, which is put out by Rare, and it's a boat game that it was almost open world a little bit. You would like drive around your boat and try to destroy different things. You'd fight sea monsters and other boats. I love the music too. It had a great little soundtrack, but I think that's what I remember the sound effects the most. I remember when because it was during a time when we didn't get new video games, own video games a lot. And I remember coming home from school and hearing, like, what sounds are that? I never heard those before. Open the door, and my brother has a very brand new video game that I've never seen before. And I was fascinated by it. So I loved all those games. Probably Jackal is probably the one that's the best out of all three of them. I've actually played that since then, as a kid, like through emulators and stuff like that. The other ones aren't as playable, but Jackal's still a lot of fun. So those are my number fives.
Haven't heard of a single one of those.
Nice. Yeah. None of them are super popular looking at like lists, but I think there's some people out there that were fans. I don't know how, based upon some of the reviews I saw, they weren't that great of reviewed games of the time. But I enjoyed them because I was like seven, and you liked everything when you were seven. So what's your number four?
Number four is probably a very popular one with a lot of people. It's Super Mario Brothers 3, which definitely I feel like added a lot to the Mario kind of canon. You had the raccoon tail. I think that's where they got the portals kind of brought in and everything. Yeah. And then the whistle to kind of get transported. And they definitely added like this little boot that you would kind of jump into, which was my favorite when you jump into the little boot and everything. So it had like all these little weird quirky things. I was kind of terrible at it. The only way I'd kind of get through pretty far was by using the hidden whistles and everything to kind of transport to different lands and everything. But I was kind of terrible at it. I was terrible at a lot of games.
I beat Mario 3 only. I never like fairly played it.
Really?
I always cheated because you would have the code that would take you to the very last level. And I think
the last level I couldn't even get past. So you're much better than me, Dan.
I think though that was back. Remember Game Genie? I think
we borrowed Game Genie,
and you'd get.
I never had a Game Genie.
I never owned one, but I think we either rented one or borrowed one. And they with it, you could also be like the steel version of Mario that would like never get hurt. So like that was, yeah, and like it was a ridiculous amount of things that you would able to do with Game Genie. So My favorite level was the one when you were really tiny and like everything else was gigantic.
Oh yeah, I love those too. Yeah. Those were cool levels. I hated the either air or water levels were always terrible for me.
Water levels are the worst in any game.
Yes.
We'll get to that with one of my other picks.
And the music was pretty cool in that. And then you had the little mini games like the with Toad, like the matching game kind of thing going on. So they had cool stuff like that. And like I think the first world first level is like an iconic level. And then they also had the cool thing where it was like a play. So they had it was like a stage in the opening scene, everything where the start menu and everything. So that was pretty cool. So
I'll reserve comment further, but yeah. So my number four is probably one. I'm assuming you maybe played this. I think so. But, you know, licensed games aren't typically all that great. There was a lot of them from the NES. I remember, like, Rambo had a game that we would play. And, you know, like, I remember Lethal Weapon had a video game.
RoboCop.
Most of them weren't very good. But one that I loved growing up, and I still think is legit good, and one of them that I can actually still play today, is Batman the video game. I don't know if you've ever played it. It was based upon the 1989 Batman movie.
I think I remember stuff from it, but I don't remember actually playing it. Or maybe if I did play it, it was like at like a store or something where they had it like set up as like a kind of trial thing.
Yeah, it was a side scroller, but like you had a lot of cool weapons and gadgets that you can collect, and it was probably the first exposure I ever had to anything like a role playing game where you would be able to like upgrade things or like get new gadgets for, you know, you had tools you could use, and it was, the graphics were pretty solid and pretty good controls for a very long time. It was like the only good Batman game, because most Batman games are pretty awful for a very long period of time. But that one has always stood out to me, and I went back to try to play some of these, and that still works. It still holds up pretty well. So I love the. I think partially it's just because I love the Batman logo of that time. The yellow and black has always been my favorite. So seeing that in any incarnation helps. But yeah, I would say recommend playing it, but I don't know if you really could. But it's good. It's quite good. At least watch some video clips of it.
Later out there.
Yeah. What's next on your list?
Next on my list, I'm continuing on with the theme here. I'm going with Super Mario Brothers 2. The reason that this one beats out 3 is because my cousin had the game, and so I could only really play it when I was over his house, and he really didn't like me playing his games. It was like so bizarre version, because I was only at that time I played Super Mario Brothers, the first one, and then I was already playing 3 before then, and then like I discovered that he got that one from like used or whatever, and so it kind of came after 3 for me, and it was just so bizarre and different from 1 and 3, because I believe they kind of outsourced it to someone else, and then like Nintendo kind of like disavowed it or something. There's this weird back history to it. But it's so weird and different. You could pick either Mario, Luigi, Peach, or Toad. I always played as Peach because I was terrible with like jumping from thing to thing, and she had like this little floating kind of thing she did with her skirt, which helped me a lot. But I just love that game because it was so different and bizarre to the normal lore that it really stuck out to me. And the fact that you could pick different characters, you didn't jump on your enemies to kill them, you could jump on them and pick them up and throw them at other enemies or throw them different places or pick up these vegetables from the ground. I think it was beets and stuff that you kind of threw, but it was so different. And then even the first boss was like this dinosaur that threw eggs at you, and you had to jump on the egg and like pick up the egg and throw it back. And like I believe the character is a boy but dressed up as a girl. There's some kind of weird sexual weird thing kind of going on there. And then, like, it's this, like, bird mouth with it open up, and you'd have to go through the bird mouth to go the next level. It was so, so bizarre that it was so stuck. It still sticks into my mind, and I'm always like, I want to play that game again. I was terrible at it. I never got really far through the game. I think I'd only beat the first, like, boss and get to the next couple of levels, and that was about it. But it was so bizarre that it definitely sticks out in my mind. And the fact that I couldn't play it, it still makes me want to play it, that I couldn't play it back then. So
it was actually an entirely different game, but they didn't think it would sell in the U.S., so they just put the Mario skin on it, and there you go. So
yeah, it's very cool. I'd definitely recommend checking that one out if you were, like, one or like the newer ones. I'd definitely check it out because it's such a bizarre thing.
Oh, nice. For number three for me is the game Contra, a game I played a lot of, but I don't think I ever got past the second level. Just that was
that's
back
a lot of NES games. Like, NES games are way tougher than any game now. Like, you could progress so far in the games out now compared to what you could do in the NES.
Yeah, because, like, there was no saving progress. Once you're dead, you're dead. There was, like, no going back. So, yeah, I played a lot of Contra. I loved all the crazy guns and stuff that you would play. You'd go through the different levels, and then, you know, you would always end each level with those crazy, like doors you'd have to fight each time, and I loved the insanity of the guns that physically, based on physics, made no sense. Like, how does this gun do this? It didn't matter. It was an NES game, you know. Played a little bit of Contra 2, was not nearly as good, but yeah, spent a lot of time playing Contra. It was like the manliest game of that time, I think. You know, a great sound as well. A lot of fun, but tough as balls. So. What's your number two?
I actually never played Contra as well.
Really? Wow.
Nope.
Man.
Never played Contra. There's a lot of games out there that, like, I have never played, but they're, like, super, super popular and everything from back then. What was the other one? Paperboy?
Paperboy,
yeah. Never played that one.
Man.
Yeah. Second one was actually mentioned already.
Nice.
But I really love this one as well. Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers. Nice. Love this one for the fact that you could have I think I got this one before I even got Super Mario Brothers 3. I love the fact that I was able to play with two people, so my brother and I could play that one a lot. The music to it was really good. The kind of fighting style where you picked up, like, these blocks and, like, chucked them really quick. You're like, pick up, throw, pick up, throw, pick up, throw, pick up, throw. And the little sound that kind of went along with it was really great. And I actually got pretty far in that game. I think between my brother and I think we actually defeated it, like, at least once, but it was definitely replayable and everything. It had, like, these interesting levels and everything that were really cool because you're a chipmunk, and so it's like, oh, you're going through a kitchen or a playroom. So that I thought that was, like, really playful and everything, especially for when you're a little kid. And I just loved that show as well. I loved all the characters in it, and it's so that one just kind of was like hit kind of everything for me almost.
I don't remember that game a lot, but I do remember playing it. It's not one I owned. I know it's one I rented, so that's maybe why it doesn't stick in my head as much.
Yeah.
A lot of those games were, like, kind of fit in the same space because I remember the Animaniacs game, which was took a lot of the same mechanics, I think, but you had three people and that was a lot of fun. So those like platform games were great. So cool. All right, my number two, and this might be on your list, I don't know, but I don't know if it's a cheat because it was technically an arcade game, but I know I played it on the NES more than I played it in the arcade, and that is Ninja Turtles. And there are
I should have had that as my number five. That is way better than DuckTales.
I
did play that one.
There's a couple
that's terrible
ones.
At it.
There was the arcade, you know, arcade one where you would. The first level would be the building on fire. That was probably my favorite one. Then there's the other one where you would drive around in the in the car and in different spots. That one was tough as hell because you get to the talking about a water level, which is, I think, unbeatable. Like, it was one of those things where I'd play that game. I know I wasn't going to beat that level, but you would try. It was one of the achievements I never was able to complete as a kid was beating that water level. It was,
see, I had one where it was more you would kind of walked from sewer pipe to sewer pipe, and it had like this weird different animation and like feel than actually when you went through the different sewer systems and everything, and then you could fight as like any of the four turtles, and then you could change if you needed to a different turtle midway through the level and everything.
There's a couple of different ones, and there's that one. I forget which one had the water level, but the arcade one was probably my favorite because you would fight. That was more of a side scroller. Did you have a turtle that you would prefer?
I think I preferred in that game, it was either Leonardo or Donatello because they had better reach with their weapons. And Raphael was the worst of the characters. Michelangelo maybe came in third because his was better than Raph's, but still not as good as Donatello or Leonardo's reach. Raphael, it was like he just kind of stuck his arm out a little bit, and it just had like 4 pixels maybe long of his side spinning around, and I'm like, this is awful.
I was not Donatello was always my favorite Ninja Turtle to begin with, but that was always my go-to as well because of that reach, and it was much easier to play. And once you were done with Raph, you're like, oh, this is done, there's no way I'm getting out
well,
of this.
I always used him as a last resort. I'm like, oh shit, I only have Raphael left, I'm fucked.
Alrighty. Well, we're down to our number one. So what was your favorite classic NES game?
Classic NES game that I still even would like to play today. It's got a bunch of replayability. It was difficult, but I was still able to beat it multiple times, which it's the first game NES game that I've ever beaten. It's got a load of different cool villains. The music is just stunning in it, and you could play you'd have a whole bunch of different weapons. I think you know what I'm talking about. Mega Man 2 is definitely my favorite by far. Like, even when I slow down playing video games, Mega Man 2 would still be one of the first ones I go to. You get all these different cool weapons. You kind of collect them as you go, which was kind of a cool concept where you'd defeat the villain, but then you'd get his power. The music was just phenomenal. I still today, there's this band that does chiptune songs, and they do a whole Mega Man thing. I believe in concert they have like a guy playing on a speed run on Mega Man 2, and they will play the entire soundtrack as he goes for each level. And even just talking about it now, I want to, after this, go on YouTube and play those because the music is just phenomenal. The villains are cool. You got Woodman, Bubble Man. And like if you knew how to play it in a certain order, the villains are more susceptible to different powers that you could steal off their buddies and everything. That game was just a lot of fun to me. I just love it, and the characters are so cool looking. The character design and everything, and the levels are so weird, futuristic, and so Mega Man 2 is definitely on the top for me.
Might be sacrilegious, but I've never actually played really a Mega Man game.
You're kind of doing a me with like Zelda and everything.
Yeah, I never I played maybe one here and there, but I never owned one. I never played one. I don't know why. It's just one of those things that like you said with Zelda, like it just completely missed it. So now
do me a favor, like if you're like working and you could play music at the same time, bring up like a chiptune like Mega Man 2 soundtrack. It's really good.
Nice, very cool. All right, well, my number one is one also that's been mentioned already, and I knew it was going to be a Mario game because honestly, that was probably what I played the most, and still today, I love classic Mario, and I can still play it, and that was a big part of my list. And like you, my favorite Mario game was Mario 2, And it was because of just how odd it was. I love to be able to play different characters. My go-to was actually Luigi, for the most part, because he had that really long, like, jump.
He was so fast and slippery, though. It was so hard to control him.
As your Luigi might be, but I guess I enjoy just his long jump. I felt like I got a good use of it, and so that or Peach.
Peach, you could float. Like, you could float the distance with Peach.
I don't know. I love the design. I love the bosses seem so weird. I remember, like, you'd have to jump on top of the egg and throw it at the person. It was very cool. I love Mario 2. I do love Mario 3 a lot as well. I probably honestly played that the most, and Mario 1. Like, I remember one time when I was playing the first Mario game, and it was like when you have the star, and I kept pausing it as I was playing it, and I was really annoying my dad because it would change colors as you were playing the star, so I was pausing and just looking at the different colors that you would become, and he was not a big fan of doing that. He was worried I would ruin the screen, which maybe I would have. I don't know, but overall, I would say my favorite one was the second one. I don't think I've ever beaten it. I got pretty far, though, but much further.
Oh, really?
Without much further than the Mario 1 or Mario 3, but...
I apparently just suck at video games.
Maybe. I don't know. But when I go back and want to play a Mario game, that's usually the first one I want to go to. So, not really. I mean, I could have also cheated a lot. Not like I know I got at least through a few levels, but I think the benefit of like that Mario one was like you never really knew how far you were compared to Mario 3, where you could see it on the board of where you were headed. So, did you have any other games that you didn't make your top five that honorable mentions?
Duck Hunt. I just remember that one. Like I said, with the gun and just putting it right up to the screen and kind of cheating. Yeah. But it was an interesting kind of concept of how to play a video game.
And that stupid dog that would laugh at you for not being able to shoot.
Oh, fuck that dog!
Yeah,
I used to shoot at that dog all the time.
I think that might be one of the most hated characters ever in history of video games. I did play Duck Hunt a lot because we had that. My friend had the three pack, which was Mario 1, Duck Hunt, and then the Stadium game, which would be an honorable mention. All those would be honorable mentions for me. The Stadium games were fun because you had like the triple jump and things like that, the sprint, the hurdles. That was a good time. But anything else?
Tecmo Bowl is a good one.
Yes, that's an honorable mention for me too.
I used to get my ass kicked all of the time by my brother. I'm definitely much better at it now than I was back then, because I've definitely replayed it again since then, especially since I know football a little bit better than I did back then. I was kind of clueless. What else? Skate or Die was really cool to me. I never had it. It was my cousin's game, so that also added intrigue to the game for me. Double Dragon was really cool. I thought the controls for that and side scroll and the kicking and everything, and that was really cool to me. Yeah, that's all about I'm remembering right now.
You mentioned Paperboy, that was there. I didn't play that a lot. Bubble Bobble, which was one of my favorite puzzle games growing up.
Bobble? I never heard of that one.
Yeah, it was like you'd play these weird, like the little lizard creatures, and you would have to try to catch things as they would fall down. It's a random thing. Excite Bike, which I think I spent the most time just because that was the cool thing about that was like you would be able to create your own like levels and things. Mm. And my dentist had like an arcade machine, and Excite Bike was on there, so I spent a lot of times recovering from the dentist by playing Excite Bike. So that was a good time. Punch Out.
I was terrible at Punch Out.
I was terrible too. Like, I think I beat the first and second guy, and then like I gave up. It was like I could never get very far.
My hand was always hurting if I ever played that game, because I don't think I had that one. I think that was another cousin game. Like, my hand would always hurt after that.
Yeah.
That one was intense.
And there was another game, I couldn't think of it, but it was like, you play different like sporting games. Like, there was a surfing that was
While you're looking up that, I thought of two more. Snoopy's Olympics was a really fun one, with like the boot throw, a pogo stick race, a pizza, stacked pizza race. Then there was another one that I don't remember the name of, where you were essentially a ball and you had to kind of go down this maze. And like, if you fell off, you kind of had to restart and there was a timer and everything. It was actually a really popular game, but I can't remember the name of it right now. It was like Marbles or something like that. But yeah, that one was a lot of fun too.
California Games, that was the name of it.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like, thanks for Google. Because I'm like, the NES game that you could play different things like skating. It's like, oh, here you go. I'm like, you're a genius, Google. I don't know how exactly you do it, but you do it. It's like little mini games you would do. There was like one that you were in like a pool, like a for skateboarding. There was a surfing level, and it was like the Olympics, but like X Games before X Games. Cool, so
I gotcha.
Nice. But yeah, a lot of classic NES. It was fun doing this, just thinking about old times, you know.
Yeah.
But I think like for me, I played NES, but Sega Genesis when it was really hit a new level. And seriousness when it came to game playing. A lot of seriousness when things like NBA Jam, TE Edition. Some mini controllers were thrown when you would...
Oh, yeah. That's at my house as well. yeah. You get very heated at those. And my parents were always like, if you love it so much, why are you flipping out? It's just a game. Like, relax. Like,
not just a game.
You're supposed to be having fun.
Yeah, it's cheating. How is it cheating? It is cheating. Games do cheat. We get all
the great. I hit the button. He didn't jump when I hit the button.
Oh, exactly.
The controller messed up. It wasn't me.
Yeah. But we'd like to hear what your top five favorite NES games are that you enjoyed playing. And you can let us know by contacting us by feedback@geekcastradio.com, leaving a message on the Geekcast Radio website. We're on Facebook and Twitter. Just search Talking in Circles, TCRN. You are also on Twitter. What is your Twitter name?
I am at The Crate Forge, and if you want to get in contact with our missing cohort, Chuck is at Heroic Age Chuck.
And I am at Movie Revolt. But that'll be it for this week. We'll be back next week. Same time, same channel, same podcast feed, but for now.
This has been Greg, or Dr. Wily.
And this has been Dan, and we've been... Talking in Circles. We'll see you next week. See, I do know that that was somehow related to Mega Man. Yes. Hair.
Yeah. He was the main enemy. Definitely listen to that soundtrack. It is amazing. Amazing.
And you should definitely play old Ninja Turtle games.
Oh, I want to play that old one, see if I'm any better at it now.
Yeah, I miss that, like, those couch games you would, play together, like, fight through things. Now you have to be online, and you're always killing each other or getting yelled at by 12-year-olds, and so racist chants.
I have a feeling that's what's going to happen to me on Rust, so.
Good luck.
Thanks. I'm actually really looking forward to it.